have in our society a deeply ingrained tradition of the rugged individual, the Marlborough man, the Duke, the Lone Ranger. All of these are solitary and self-sustaining, independent, needing no one, islands unto themselves. And many of us perhaps see ourselves that way, and some of us would like to see ourselves that way. Sociologists tell us that one of the most marked characteristics of our time has been the narrowing of our horizons, an almost frantic attempt by many people to make their world smaller. The brotherhood of man and woman has been narrowed down to nationalistic states who war one with another. Nations are then in turn divided up into squabbling interest groups, all trying to get a piece of the pie and screaming bloody blue murder when someone else is perceived to have gotten a fatter piece. A concern for the well-being of my town and my neighborhood has now shrunk to caring only about the people with houses next to me. School teachers talk about a rise in cliquishness and of even more clearly defined groupings along ethnic and economic lines. All of these are signs of the narrowing of our horizons, an attempt by people to make their world smaller and smaller. And the end result of all this is very sad. I'm told that the number one disease of North Americans is loneliness. Now that's why this morning's epistle is such a challenge. And that's why Paul, who could always use an editor, perhaps hammers this over and over and over and over again. He describes the kind of society, the kind of people that God calls us to be. And Paul, more eloquently than anyone else in Scripture, I think, speaks of the interconnectedness of God's people, all of them bound together in an intimacy so intense that the only image that works is that of the human body. Now, of course, this way of thinking isn't original to Paul. All through the Bible, God looks at individual people as part of a larger whole. Abraham, the individual, was called for the express purpose of being patriarch of a whole nation, Israel. Even Moses, who's sort of the quintessential John Wayne figure, was called by God for the express purpose of leading the people of Israel out of slavery into the promised land. The Bible always speaks of the individual person as being part of the people of God. In the Old Testament, we use the word chosen people. In the New Testament, we use the phrase body of Christ, that is, the church. Now, in a world that is turning in on itself and becoming smaller, we need to hear Paul's words over and over again. Now, you are the body of Christ, he says, and individually members of it. And I think that Paul's image of the body says at least three important things about the church. Very quickly. First, while the body is meant to be unified, it is not uniform. Like the human body, the church is fearfully and wonderfully made. There are varieties of gifts and talents among its members, different temperaments. Now, isn't it so true that the world seems monotonous and bland when compared with the glorious variety of the personalities of the saints. And God knows there is a lot of personality in this parish. We need to be aware of falling into two traps. On one hand, there are people whose gifts are not the most conspicuous, and they sometimes have a spiritual inferiority complex. But we are reminded that everyone, high and low, rich and poor, old and young together, all have received gifts for ministry. And I assure you that there are quiet, almost unnoticed people in this parish who have very, very powerful gifts. The opposite trap is for the more noticeable or more flashy parts of the body to feel superior over weaker members, when in fact they've been given those greater gifts precisely to be the servant of others. And Paul's message is that God has arranged the organs in the body, each of them as he chooses. All of these diverse parts come together to form one unified living body of which Christ is the head. We're all in it together. Number two. By using the image of the body of Christ for the church, Paul is underlining the fact that there is no such thing as a solitary, self-sustaining Christian. You cannot be a Christian by yourself. Hear that in our Lone Ranger society and Lone Ranger churches. You cannot be a Christian by yourself. Once upon a time, a woman whose faith had been slowly dying went to visit a wise old priest. And they sat by the fire in the living room, and the priest took a pair of tongs, and he picked a glowing ember out of the fire and put it on his heart. In a few minutes, the ember ceased to glow, and the priest took the ember again and put it back into the fire. And that woman knew immediately why she was losing her faith. A Christian who holds herself apart from other members of the body is like an ember out of the fire. Now, as Christians in the Catholic tradition, we are nourished week by week with the supernatural food, the body and blood of Christ. And as part of the body gathered together, we hear God's word proclaimed and applied to our lives. And as a part of the body, we are strengthened and encouraged by other members, that is, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And a third thing follows. Paul writes, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. There is a mutual accountability and responsibility in the body. The responsibilities include contributing of our time, of our talent, of our wealth. We are responsible for not scandalizing other members of the body with our words or behavior. We are accountable in striving for peace and unity amongst other members of the body. Our most important responsibility is to be part of the body when it gathers on Sunday morning. And that's not just a matter of obeying God's commandment to remember his day and keep it holy. It's a matter of the body functioning together optimally. You know, if even one of us is not here, the whole body is weakened. Someone has said to to the foot, I have no need of you. If one of us is not here, the whole church is weakened. One less voice makes the amen to the prayers. One less heart is lifted up to the Lord. One less person stands shoulder to shoulder. The body is diminished. It's not what it could be. And that's sad. What's even more sad is that I am not what I could be. My world has become narrower and smaller, and I am less related to God and God's people. The destiny of the individual is not to be the Marlboro Man. Jesus did not die to turn you into the Lone Ranger or John Wayne. He died that you might be part of the holy people of God. Remember, dear friends, that we are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Let us stand, and in the words of the Nicene Creed, join with Christians of all times and in all places and proclaim the faith that comes down to us from the apostles. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen